that's nice.
Great. So, welcome you all in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, everybody love to be here this day? Yes? Why do we love to be here on a Sunday morning? When I see people, you know, hanging around, going to a place where they can play some games and, you know, chill out. So, we are here in a closed room worshiping God. Why so? What could be the reason? Any reason? Joy. Joy, joy, joy that fills my heart. Yes. Because He is worthy of worship. Right? So, and we know that no, God is on high and He looks at us because we are His children. Right? So, we don't have much of a space in Mumbai flats. But we do have a small garden at home. Now, in that particular garden, last monsoon, we saw a mushroom sprout, you know, out of nowhere. And it was a delight for us, and majorly for the kid, to know that something new has come. So we went there. It was a very pretty mushroom, a white one. And then we took some small toys, tiny toys. We took pictures because it was so nice. You know, so everybody was happy. After 3-4 days, it just dried out. It just dried out. So we were like, oh, it was so pretty. We decorated it. We did everything, you know. But 3-4 days just vanished. So this reminded me of something. Can anybody think such an incident in the Bible where God has specifically mentioned that I grew it up, I took it away? Right, we're right. So in Jonah chapter 4 verse, I think the last verse, I think, yeah, 6. So where he mentions, can somebody read that verse? Let's, who is the fastest finger here? Jonah, do you want the page number? It's going to be different in different... You know, Bibles we have. So Jonah chapter 4 verse 6. So God talks about His love. He doesn't want us to perish. So He loves us that much. So, but God shows us one more thing there. What is that? Just like, you know, in Job chapter 38, He also mentions something where He shows that He is the boss. That He is not answerable to anyone whatsoever. So He tells, yes, I love you so much. I don't want you to perish. You listen to me. That's the only thing He asks. Listen. So, when we talk about this, let's also understand who this God is. Has anybody seen God? Anybody? Anybody here? No? Oh, okay. So, we haven't seen God, right? So, why is so? Is there any description in the Bible where it is mentioned about God? Nobody has seen God. If someone sees the God, he dies. So we live here because we haven't seen Him. So, but we, by faith, we have seen. In Daniel chapter 7, yeah, if you go, sorry, I forgot. I'm not used to presentation speech, so. Yeah. Okay. So, can someone take Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to 10? So here we can see a glimpse of, a vision that Daniel had of the Lord Almighty. And so that we can understand who he is. Right? So just like we have heard, like, you know, if the president comes here, we'll not be seated. We'll be standing. And, you know, we would, you know, give him a respect. Because we see him, he's coming, we would be ready for him. Right? So this God of ours in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. Thanks. So that describes, you know, gives us, you know, a glimpse of this vision Daniel had. So later in that verse, you can also see that what happened. Daniel was almost weak. Right? I think in the following verse, down the line, if you can read it. 10th, I think somewhere. Yep.
And came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame.
Okay. So this is, I'll just check it.
15? I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me.
Correct. So, in Daniel chapter 7, now we will read Daniel chapter 10. So, 10, it reads, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from uppers around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Further down it said, after this, I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. So this is the God which we worship. He is the God of heavens. He is the God who created the universe. He is the God who, through his voice, created the universe, right? So, imagine, again, that this God, who is seated on the throne, in Revelation chapter 4, Ezekiel, Isaiah, you will also read about the throne room of God. And this gives, you know, us an idea to appreciate his majestic, you know, its majesty. So there's no one like him. He's the Ancient of Days. Now, this God has a character. He has various characters. The Bible, from the start till the end, it talks about everything, from the birth of the universe to what is going to happen, you know, in eternity. There's a rule book. It's a mirror for us to live the lives on earth. So, let's see. Whether this God, which we just described here, love us, right? So, love in the in today's world is very much, you know, taken very casually. So there are majorly four, you know, distinct love that God talks about in the Bible. So, it's a Greek word that you see right now on the screen. So the love between friends is called philia. It's a Greek word. Right? You love your friend. So in English, we just have, you know, I love my friend. That's it. We have made it like, I love my ice cream, I love my car, all the stuff. But philia is between friends. Eros is romantic love between husband and wife. Then we have storge, which is the love between the family, between children and the parents, and vice versa. Now, to make these three, which anyways God has made, to be powerful in this world, agape love, which is God's love, must be there. Or else, whatever we have seen earlier, philia, eros, storge, this could be short-lived. If God is missing, the agape love is missing in any of these, then, you know, any of, you know, my friends, he goes, he doesn't talk to me, philia goes, dropping down. There would be some, you know, husband-wife issues. There goes the eros down. Then you have storge. Child wants bike. I cannot give a bike. So there goes storge. But when you have this agape love in all these three areas, this is going to be such a beautiful experience. Now, agape love is basically a pure, selfless, sacrificial love. So this is the highest form of love that anybody can offer. And this is offered by our God in heaven. Yes. So let's deep dive into various areas of this love. Because first I thought, you know, when it was given God's love, I was like, wow, what's there to speak on this? But when I, you know, got into it, I was like, where to end? So I was not able to even, you know, comprehend that such a small four-letter word will have a lot to explain. And I was totally flabbergasted where, and was like, I never knew where to stop now, right? So now when we talk about the unconditional love of God, so do you think God's love is unconditional? Right. So I've seen some say no, some say yes. Good. So when we talk about unconditional love, so God, you know, when we were sinners, God died for us. So nobody knew about God. God was like, he gave himself as a sacrifice, not, you know, asking for something. You do this one, then I love you. No, I will die for you. I will sacrifice my life for you. Very unconditional. But don't think that this unconditional love can save you from, you know, your sins. No. Because this is there for everybody. But when this unconditional love is moved to faith, then what happens? God is not God. God is your Father. He's your Abba Father. You can talk to him. You can, you know, you are heir of God. So now what happens here is you have a very personal relationship, a rapport with God. God loves everybody. Yes. God loves all those who are outside this room. Yes. Right. God loves us. Yes. So this is just like Jonah's, you know, anger. I went there, you told me I went there, so that God could bring Nineveh to judgment. But you forgave them. Oh my goodness. So that thing. So that is where, you know, this unconditional love should bring about faith in you. So that this faith will grow in, you understand this, and then bring about your in your life, so that you can get eternity. This unconditional love doesn't justify sin. This doesn't give any guarantee to go to heaven till the time you put your faith in God. That is what it is. Now, when we see in the life of Saul, he was someone who, you know, persecuted Christians, right? God loved him, used him as an instrument. He put his faith, he was saved. Even the two criminals who were put on cross, Did they believe till the last moment of their death that God was, or Jesus was God, or Jesus was the Messiah? No. They did not. But what happened there was, he put his faith in the last moment and he was saved. So now, if someone can read, John chapter 3 verse 5. It says, no one comes to Father except through me. Right? John chapter 6 verse 40. If you can move in.
And believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
So this is what happens when you put your faith in Jesus, right? In Matthew chapter 7, it also says, not all who call me Lord, Lord. So we might be seated here. We don't know each other's heart. God knows. And I say, God, I preached to you, last Sunday. I worshipped you here. I was a leader at the church. Nothing doing. You have to practice faith. You have to have the fruits of the Spirit shown. Then and then only, you can escape from this verse. Not at all who call me Lord, Lord, Matthew chapter 7, in that day are saved. But only those who fulfill my Father's will is to believe in me. Right? So, here, again, Romans chapter 5 verse 8 also talks about the same thing which I said earlier. God proves his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. So, secondly, we can look into the everlasting love. Right? What is everlasting? It lasts forever. Right? It stays forever. So can God give us an everlasting love? Yeah, because he is eternal. Love is in his nature, and he is eternal. We are his creation, and God has that love towards us. That is his nature. This everlasting love is not basically seasonal. For example, so this is the month of, let's say, March coming. Yeah, and April, May, we will have our KPIs reviewed by our bosses, right? So, our boss will review us based on what we did last year, right? Every 12 months, kya kya? That's the main question. This was in your JD, right? So, though it was in your job description, we show them, sir, I did it. I did that. I went out of the box to do this. So, is my boss happy, right? So, that is what it is. So, if you don't do that, again, this time you didn't do well. There goes the love. That's it. So all those things, when I say seasonal, it is not like, today I fell down. I did something wrong. So, what happens? Does it remain? No. Does God's love remain? Yes. He gives us the strength to rise up. Yeah, so because his desire, and it is our, inner thing that tells, yes, you rise up. God gives a second chance to everybody. Till the time we are in this earth, there is time to turn 180 degrees and come back to the Lord. So, it is basically an invite for us all to have a personal walk with the Lord. Now, here, this everlasting love, let's say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, what does it say? Love never ends. Yeah? God's love never ends, but prophecies, tongues, and what? Knowledge will pass away, but my love never ends. So I love that song that we usually sing. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out of me. So that is such a meaningful song which is derived out of the Bible in such a beautiful way. So, and in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 is also written, he knocks at the door. Every time he knocks at the door, are you ready to open? So that's his love. He comes again. His love regenerates again and again. You know, you fall, you come back. I love the way God says, forgive 70 times or 77 times. Yeah, right. So, and that is not like you count, 70, mine is over, now I can hate someone. No, you have to, it's a for loop. It's, it goes again and again, right? So, God shows his love through various things. Because love cannot be, separated from forgiveness, from correction. No. Till the time, you don't have a correction, you don't love that person. For sure. No. So this is what God's everlasting love is. And is he reliable? Is God's love reliable? Yes. How many of you love cricket as such? Now the love of cricket has died down a lot. But in times when we used to love cricket, there used to be a Mr. Reliable or a Mr. Dependable. Who was that? Rahul Dravid. Right. Because why? Because his teammates always rely on him. But you go, don't get out and come, okay? Look at his records. One run out from 100 balls. The bowler would have gone frustrated and have gone back. So that is reliability. He has proven himself. Right? God's love is so reliable where John 4:16 mentions, can someone take John 4:16? Fastest finger. E-Bibles and paper Bibles. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Yeah? It's not John. First John. First John. Sorry. So it's First John chapter 4, verses 16.
Dwelleth in God, and God is him. God in him.
In him. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Sorry, I'm making you work. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9.
Ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Okay. So our God is faithful and reliable. Deuteronomy 31 6. I will read it for you. So be strong and courageous. Okay. Do not be afraid. I love this verse a lot. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when God says, you can really believe it, right? He's our dependable God. So, thirdly, let's come to the topic of compassionate love. So, God showed compassion in many areas, in the Bible, the entire, Bible, you can see compassion. From the start till the end, he created everything, and now they are rebelling against him. Our God, we have to really, thank God to be, so patient with us. He's so compassionate. He talked compassion through parables. Any parables that you can remember where he can, he showed compassion? Yes. Prodigal son. His arms open wide. He welcomed the son who took off everything from him. Right? Storge. The love in the family restored. When Christ died, his arms wide open. Still have time. Come to me. That's it. Once dead, chapter close. Nothing beyond that. So, compassion, you know, in many instances, Lazarus' grave, Jesus fed 5,000, Jesus fed 4,000. So every other, you know, areas in the Bible, we can see compassion of our Lord. So he also wants us to be compassionate, you know, towards our, you know, friends, our family members. Why? Because what God has told us, we have to bring it to practice. It is not like, okay, God ne kiya hai, good, very nice, but not for us. It is still for us, right? So, let's look into the life of Jonah. So, Jonah, I think everybody knows the story of Jonah, right? Yeah. So, in Jonah, you know, he was asked to go to Nineveh. Prophet ran back, right? God again sent him to Nineveh using a different transport methodology through the belly of whale. So, here God shows compassion to Nineveh and even Jonah, because I sometimes feel he sent the whale, you know. Why? Because Jonah, I don't know whether he, you know, loved to swim. He knew to swim. So let him not be drowned. Let the whale take him on the belly. Keep, you know, take him to the shore. So when, you know, Nineveh was ready and was, you know, doing all the sinful things that they could do and was bound for judgment, Jonah was sent to Nineveh to tell them, time has come. Repent. Good thing, Nineveh repented. Jonah would not have expected. So God has compassion on the people of Nineveh and they were saved. There, God shows his compassion that you listen to me, you listen. Now, when you listen to me, you take into your heart, you believe in me, because everything that you listen, no, everything, you know, when you go outside and everything, you listen to many things. But when God speaks to you, listen, believe. No, born again mentality must be there. You must be born again. That is the time when God's compassion will fall upon you and you would be under his umbrella of love. Right? So, God also heals his, you know, Jonah's state of anger because he was very angry. God did not do what Jonah was asked to do. But since, you know, Nineveh repented, Jonah was angry at God. But God again showed him, why Jonah? Don't be angry. This is the reason. So he heals, he comforts. So when, you know, we talk about all this, he also demonstrated his love. Right? So God knows, I have all this character. You know, I have my children. I have to demonstrate. And he demonstrates it because it is God. How did he demonstrate? In creation, his love is demonstrated. He is the author of ex nihilo creation. Ex nihilo creation is basically, you know, what could that be? God said, out of nothing, things evolved. The stars came, the sun came, the moon came, the trees, the creatures of the sea, of the air, everything, just by a word. He spoke into nothing, things came into existence. So that's the ex nihilo creation. Now, when God did that, in Genesis you can read, he said, after creating everything, he said, it is very good, right? So he loves his creation. There are uniqueness in the creation that even today, scientists are mesmerized. Like, how could that be? They don't know. So, in this particular creation, again, there was one more thing. He created man in his own image, by his own hands. So that is something, you know, we usually tell parents, don't hit your, you know, children with your hands, because hands are for loving. You use a stick, keep it away, but use a stick to beat your children if they are throwing tantrums, right? If they're not knowing you, discipline. But don't ever use your hands to beat the child or punish the child. Because the use of hand is to love, and that's it. So God used those loving hands to create us in his own image and breathe his life of breath into us. Right? Are we not thankful to that? He gave us breath. He gave us family. He gave us children. Everything is good. When everything is good, we have to also love him and worship him. Right? So one of the, I love this verse. You know, this is talks about God knit. You know, he knit us in our mother's womb, right? So, we all know when we were in Delhi. You know, I've seen my mother knitting winter sweater, and we were waiting for it to reach to its fullness, and that was some delight, because starting from a small wool string, now it has come to something that could be made useful. So now, similar fashion, God knit us. That is our God. So delicately, he put every intricate things in our bodies together, and we were knit. That is the word. I love to read that again and again. So next, three things. For example, the redemption, love demonstrated in redemption, restoration, and guidance. So these three things, I think we can think about. We can go to Genesis chapter 39. Okay, so what does Genesis chapter 39 talk about? It talks about Joseph, right? So just speeding up everything, Joseph, loved by his father, yeah. He had 11 brothers, yeah. Genesis chapter 39. So hated by his brothers, 11 brothers, loved by one father, hated by 11 brothers. Then what did they do? He was enslaved by the Midian, travelers, and then he was sold. So look at the transaction in one's life. No, he was enslaved, then he was sold to Egyptian official. What was his name? Egyptian official's name was Potiphar. Yeah. So Potiphar took him. Now, God had a good plan, basically. Now, in Potiphar's household, God guided Joseph in such a way that Potiphar, who never knew God, had a different, thought process altogether about his so-called gods, loved the way Joseph was, right? So, and his household was blessed. And it reads in Genesis chapter 39 that the Lord was with him. It is not only once he has mentioned. Many times he has mentioned. So the Lord was with him even when he was in Potiphar's house. He was in a different place, away from his parents, brothers, whom he had loved. So what we can see is his presence is everywhere. His love is there with you. So even when Potiphar's wife tempted, he did not give up. After that, he was put into prison. So when he was put into prison again, Joseph, or let's say even if, I was thinking, if it was Joseph, and after all this, I'm again put into prison. Why? Why so? So when that comes in, God was still there with him. There was a cupbearer and a baker. And the cupbearer at the end was left. Baker was executed. So when now the good thing comes in. He was forgotten. People think that I did a good thing, you know, I did a good thing for my friend, he will remember me, you know, and he will help me out. Nothing. After 2 years, when Pharaoh had a dream, the cupbearer remembered him. The cupbearer could have, you know, instantly told the Pharaoh, see, this is what happened. He's a good guy. Please, you know, do something for him. Nothing. After 2 years, Bible mentions he forgot about him. Total. And 2 years, he's still in prison. Right? So, after 2 years again, what happens? He is remembered by the Pharaoh. And what God does, he guides him to interpret his dreams. Right? Joseph says that, you know, you tell me, I will do it. Did he say that? No. What did he say? The interpretation is for God to do. You tell me. So, he gave the respect, honor to God. You tell me your dreams. No, I won't do anything. God will guide me. He will interpret it for you. So, after that, you have your 7 years of, you know, famine, abundance and famine. And then comes his brothers from Canaan to Egypt. His brother comes. And these brothers are then restored back. So, his love was shown in restoration in his brother's life and also in Joseph's life. Joseph was redeemed from the well to the enslavement to being the ruler to hold a high position in Egypt. God redeemed Joseph. So now, when we talk about, other things, it's like, there are many areas where we can understand God's love. Now, the last thing we can look into is, we'll just move on fast, is basically how we can experience God's love. So, we can experience God's love by embracing Him, abiding in God's love, living in God's love, and sharing God's love. So, this is just simple. We do it. But we have to be persistent, right? Embracing God's love, have a personal relation. You read the Bible again and again and again. You remain, once you read it, put into practice. Right? You read it again. Don't stop it there. You again read it. It's a continual, process. So, you have to, when you continue, you remain in the Word. And you have your prayer. You have to walk by faith. And you have to bear fruits of the Spirit when you walk with God. So, when we have this in our life, we experience God's love. Right? And the other, verses which God talks about, you can read it later. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 5, which talks about love, is patient, kind. Luke, which talks about love your enemies. Mark 12, 28, 34 is the commandment of the New Testament, which is love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself, because you are the temple of God. Right? Everything that we have in this world is for, we are, it is given by God. It is not that we made something. We are custodians. Right? So we cannot say, I made the money, I did that, I got it. God is giving you. Right? And Ephesians. I love this verse. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Every effort. Not a single effort. Every effort. Go down. Get your ego out. Go down your feet. That's it. Every effort. So, and last but not the least, 1 John 2:15. Do not love. Till the time we were talking about love, 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 love. Here God says, do not love. What is that, do not love? It's the world and anything in the world. That's it. So let's, thank God, that He helped us to understand Him, His love, and helped us to know how we can love Him. And also, let us love our parents, our children, our spouses, and our enemies the way God has told us to. There's nothing that is, hurting. God said, and it is doable. Yeah. So with that, I'll conclude. I'll just call up a pastor to come on. and close it.